is the triumph over adversity and the faith that carries us through it. For the Lord, your God, is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory. With each step, we walk in his strength. With each challenge, we trust in his plan. And with each victory, we glorify his name. Empowered by faith, united in purpose.
Good morning. We're so glad you're here today. Thank you for being a part of our service. Hope you were blessed by the worship this morning. And we're so excited that you're here. If you're watching online, good to see you wherever you might be. Thank you for chiming in and joining us wherever you are. And we are in a brand new series. But before we do it, get into it real quick, make sure you grab that connection card outside of your program. Let us know that you're here with us, you know. And if you're a visitor, if you're a guest with us, or you're first time in a long time, you know, fill this out. And then at the end of the service, you can drop it in one of our offering boxes throughout the building, or you can give it to me. I'll be out here in the lobby. Love to meet you after the service. And I got something for you, a free gift for you and your family. And so thank you for being here and to worship this morning. I want you to just picture yourself standing inside a full Roman battle gear, very like the picture that we kind of see, you know, in the first century centurion Roman soldier. And picture yourself in there. You've got the helmet on, right? You've got the shield raised. You've got the sword in your hand. And you're not out for a walk. You're out on the front line of a spiritual battle. The armor feels weighty, heavy, but it's comforting because you know you are protected. It's there for a reason. And you and I are in a battle 24/7. It never takes a break. It never stops. And so that's why we're launching this brand new series on winning the battle. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss a single week of this message series. This series is all about equipping you for the battle, equipping you for victory. You might be wondering, well, why this series? You know, why are we talking about winning the battle? And there's a couple of reasons for this. First, it's because the Bible tells us that the Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. Every Christ follower, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ, you are engaged in spiritual warfare. And we're not fighting empty-handed. God has given us his spiritual armor. But many believers, either they don't understand the armors and the individual pieces, or they just don't use it at all. And so that's why we're taking time in this series. We're going to unpack those spiritual armor. The second reason is because we need to be taught from God's word on how to stand firm. Spiritual warfare is real. And we need to sit under biblical teaching that explains it, not just vaguely, but on a practical level. After 9/11 happened in 2001, the United States entered into a war for the very first time against an enemy that we, you know, that was not defined by a country. It was a war against terrorism. You know, for a while there, we weren't quite sure who the real enemy were. Who were the enemies, and who we fighting, and where are they, and are they still among us in our country? Are they? And so it was the first time we had a faceless enemy. However, in the spiritual realm, the enemy that we're facing is not hard to define. He is not an abstract force. He's not an idea. He's not a cartoon character. He's personal. And his name is Satan. The spiritual enemy we face, Satan, he makes the darkest human leaders in history. I want you to think about the darkest human leader in your mind. I want you to think about who that is. I'm sure if I were to ask you, I got about maybe three or four answers. I would hear from, you know, one of those three or four answers from every one of us. I want you to think about the darkest human leaders in history. and your spiritual enemy compared to that person you're thinking about, make that person you're thinking about look like an amateur. If you think modern evil is intense, understand that Satan is behind every shadow and is far more dangerous than you realize. It's dangerous, and it's out there. It's real. I remember when I was a kid, I would go to the post office. Don't go to the post office as much anymore. You know, we can automate it. It can come right to you. But it used to be in the good old days, you'd go to the post office. And you walk in, and one of the things I remember when I was a kid, one of the things I noticed in the post office, they had all these wanted posters on the walls. And they had all these criminals. They had them, you know, a picture of them facing forward, and then they had a side picture. And then you start to read their information, you know, what crime they committed, when the crime was committed, you know, when last seen, you know, what their alias are, you know, the other names that they go by. But the thing that really caught my attention was the bottom line, the reward for catching them. You know, that got me by surprise. All of a sudden now, I'm looking around like eagle eyes. I said, okay. You know, I'm looking at the guy behind me, you know, and I'm eyeing him. I'm checking him out. And so we look, and all those wanted pictures, we call them a rap sheet. You've seen it, you know, when you're watching TV, you see, they talk about a criminal. They give you the rap sheet. You know, they talk about the crime that they committed. They talk about the background of the story, of what happened. You know, you got the picture. You know, and they give you a phone number. Hey, if you know anything about this situation or this person, call us. And so that's what we're going to do with our spiritual enemy today. We're going to pull out Satan's rap sheet. We're going to look at his criminal records. We're going to expose him for who he is, what he does, and how he works. You see, this is our reality. There is an enemy who is after us. He's on the loose. His name is Satan, and today we're going to examine his rap sheet together. Now, I know some of you in this room, there may be some here, you're a little skeptical. You're like, Satan, Scott, really? I mean, you're going to talk about demons? You're going to talk about spiritual warfare? I mean, Scott, I know you're a smart guy, but do you really believe in Satan? And I want to be as clear as I possibly can. Yes, I do. I believe that he is real. Just as I believe in Jesus, because I have a personal relationship with him, I also believe that Satan is real because I feel the battle every day. He tempts. He accuses. He deceives. This is real. And you say, well, Scott, you know, maybe some of you are here and say, you know, Scott, we're kind of going into the summer. You know, could you be a little bit lighter? You know, kind of, you know, talk about how to have joy. You know, how to be a good mom and dad, or how to be a good husband and wife. You know, I mean, a lot of good stuff. And listen, all that's great. Those are important. But we have to start here. Because when you say yes to Jesus Christ, then you automatically, whether you know it or not, you step into war. You step into the battle. You join the army, and you become a target. So today I want to talk about who he is. We're going to look at Satan's rap sheet. And so if you're ready, we're going to take some notes here. If you've got your handout notes, you've got your app, however you want to do this, but I want to encourage you to take some notes. Here's the letter R. We're going to use the acronym, R-A-P. R is represent his resume. Who is he? Who is Satan? It's important for you to notice that Satan did not start evil. In fact, I know this might be hard to believe, but God created Satan. That's right, God made him. In fact, his original name was the name Lucifer. And if you're taking notes, Lucifer means star of the morning. Most scholars believe that Lucifer was one of the leading angels in heaven. He was a worship leader. He was highly esteemed, the high-ranking being in the heavenly hierarchy. But something happened. He wanted to be like God. And so he kind of created a mutiny, right? A takeover. He let pride take over. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's written about Satan. It's describing him. It said, how you have fallen, verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. He's talking about Lucifer. He said, you have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. You catch that? I will. I will. I will. If you're taking notes, Satan's downfall was pride. Pride was his sin. And when he tried to take God's place, God cast him out of heaven, the Bible says, and a third of the angels had followed Lucifer, had followed him, and a third of the angels, they too were cast out, and now they had become what we call demons. Now let me talk about Satan for a minute. I'll give you some facts here. You see a bunch of blanks on your handouts here. Number one, Satan is not God's equal. He's not equal with God. Now, we just finished last week, we finished the book of Job. And if you remember, on week one of Job, 5 weeks ago, we saw this scene unfold in chapter one and chapter two. We see this scene unfold where God in heaven, you know, is having a staff meeting with the angels, and all of a sudden Satan shows up unannounced. And what do we see here? He asked God for permission to mess with Job's life. He's not equal with God. He knows that. Oh, he hates that. Because he still has pride right now. He still wants to take over. Even today. But he knows that he's not his equal. If you're taking notes, he's not everywhere at once. I would argue that he's been everywhere, at, you know, this place and that place. I believe he's probably been in every city, every state, every country. You know, wherever there's people. So he may not hang out in Antarctica that much. But wherever there's people, I promise you, he's been there. But he's not everywhere. He's not omnipresent like God. God's everywhere all at once. He's not all-knowing. He knows a lot. We'll see that he's smart. But he's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. God's all-powerful. But he's not all-powerful. He's a powerful person. But not all-powerful. A couple more things here. Satan's name, if you're looking at his name, it means adversary, an enemy. It's also called the devil, which means accuser. And so we got Satan right here, right? We got a little bit of a resume. He's strategic. He's got an army of demons doing his dirty work all around the world. You want to explain the darkness in our culture? You want to explain the evil, the corruption? You know, we're really good at pointing blame. You know, we can, you know, we're analysts. most of the time, say, this is why it is. This is why we have this trouble. This is why it's so evil and this corruption. And we can go down the rabbit hole and we can come pretty close to the root. But let me just be honest with you. The real root is something deeper, something more spiritual. There is a real enemy behind it all, behind every corruption, behind every evil. We live in a culture that just struggles with this because we're a culture of the scientific method. We want everything to be observed, everything to be scientific and measurable. But not everything important can be measured. You know that? Love, for example, you can't stick love in a test tube and scientifically, dissect love. Just can't. You can't see the wind, but you can feel it, right? You can't see spiritual warfare, but you feel the impact. You can feel the impact. Satan is real. His mission is to destroy. That's his resume. That's who he is. Letter A, his abilities. It stands for his abilities. What can he do? The Bible is clear, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. It said, be alert and of sober mind. We'll talk about these things here. Be alert and be of sober mind. In other words, don't be naive. Don't blow this off. In other words, wake up and smell the coffee. Don't play games with this. I mean, he's real. He said, your enemy, he said, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. So the Bible describes Satan that he's like a lion. He's not playing around, he's prowling, he's hungry, and he's targeting someone, and that someone is often you and me, the people of God. The one making the biggest difference for God's kingdom is the one that's most hunted by him. And so the Bible says that we are, right, in verse 8, we are to be alert. I see this acronym for the word alert. If you're taking notes, the word alert means always looking everywhere, responding to temptation. That's alert. We'll hold that up there for just a minute. Always looking everywhere, responding to temptation. And so that's the posture we're called to take. We're to be alert, always responding, always looking everywhere, responding to temptation. That's being spiritually alert, ready to recognize the lion's growl before he pounces. Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said the thief, talking about the devil, he said he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the end game. That's what he wants. Jesus said, Jesus is the opposite. He said, I've come to give the opposite, that you may have life and have it to the full. Satan is a thief. He's a destroyer. And just like a lion stalks those that are wandering from the pack, what he does. See, the lion never attacked the pack. He looked for the weak one, the one that wanders away. I've been to Africa a year ago. I've been on a safari. And I noticed all the animals, all the zebras, like to hang out together. You know, they got the babies. And I saw some of those baby zebras. They're so cute. You know, and the mamas, hey, they don't let that little baby zebra out of his sight because somewhere in the tall grass was a hungry, hungry lion waiting for one of those animals to wander off on his own, be isolated. You know, that's why we keep saying all the time here at Lake Point, hey, you have to stay connected to your church family. It's so important. Don't drift away, because the more disconnected you are from a church family, the more vulnerable you become. And parents, I want you to think about this before we move on. I want you to think about this. How many of us, hypothetically, would drop our kids off, you go to Detroit Zoo, and you would drop your kids off, your little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, and say, y'all hang out here by the lion's den. I'll be back in a couple of hours. Don't do anything dumb. None of us would do that. No matter how much of a barrier there is and they have a glass wall, we would not leave our kids 2 hours not by the lion's den. We would be crazy to do that. But how often do we let them engage in entertainment or media or friendship that are spiritually destructive? We hand them a smartphone, but no oversight. We say, hey, have at it. Have fun. And without realizing it, you're dropping them off in the lion's den. Satan, hey, listen, Satan doesn't come wearing a red suit with a pitchfork and say, hey, I'm here to mess you up. That's not what he does. He doesn't say that. He's crafty, subtle, smart, strategic. He's been doing it for a long, long, long time. Now I want you to understand, not every problem is caused by Satan. Sometimes we do this. Sometimes we forget something and say, oh no, it's the demon of forgetfulness that got me this time. Sometimes it's just being human. However, don't underestimate the real spiritual opposition you face. And the good news for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who are followers of Christ, if you're taking note, we don't fight for victory. We don't fight for the championship. We fight from victory. We fight from him. I want you to just let that sink in, because the moment that Jesus rose again from the grave, the outcome of the war was decided. Satan was defeated, and the war was won. And I know this because I've read the back of the book. Satan is defeated. He loses. And he knows he's losing. That's why he's doing all that he can to win. He's hoping for a fourth quarter comeback. He wants to get in there and finish it off. But he knows that in the back of his heart, in the deep of his heart, he knows he's losing. But he's not going down without a fight. And so we're called to stand firm. To stand firm, because our victory is already secured in Christ Jesus. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, and we were up at the family cabin, Mayo, Michigan. You know, if you know where Mayo is, it's a little dot somewhere in a up lower peninsula, but up north. My two brothers, my mom, then my dad and my Uncle Todd. And Uncle Todd and my dad was walking, and something caught their eye in the grass. It was a big old long black rat snake. And I don't know, but my dad, my Uncle Todd decided, hey, this is a good opportunity to play with the snake. And so they found a stick. And I could see my dad and my Uncle Todd taking that stick and just kind of poking, annoying the snake. The snake's trying to mind his own business, trying to get away. And they just want to let him get away. They just push all the buttons. And my mom is just like, you know, dinner, you know, leave him alone. And of course, me and my two brothers were getting over there. So my mom said, okay, he's not listening to her. So he got me and the boys to put us in the car. We were kind of disappointed because we wanted to see what was going to happen. You know? And nothing ever good's happened when you're poking around with a snake. And so we're watching, you know, my mom's not too happy. We're still in the car, I'm looking from the window. And there's my Uncle Todd, there's my dad, they're just kind of poking the thing. And all of a sudden, I saw this big old black snake. It was a big old snake. This big old black snake, not poisonous, but mean looking. He raised his head like a cobra. Flap his little wings that he had, you know, his little flaps, you know, and hissed and lunged and went for a strike. My uncle and my dad, they jumped, and I'm pretty sure I heard him scream a little. I read lips, and I know what a scream looks like when I see one, okay? And he'll deny it. If we see him today, he'll deny it all day long. I'm just telling you, just take my word for it, okay? Ask my mom. My mom will tell you the truth, okay? And so, listen, why do I tell you this? Why do I tell you this? Because when we play with sin, when we hold on to temptation, thinking that we're in control, it's only a matter of time when it bites us back, when it strikes. You see, Satan, he's like a lion. He devours. He's like a snake. He strikes. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this age, talking about Satan, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. See, the battleground is in the mind. That's where Satan starts. And for those who don't know Christ, who don't know Jesus, he keeps you blinded. He keeps your thought clouded. He feeds you lies. He says, hey, that preacher boy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, don't listen to the word. Hey, it's okay. Have one foot in church and one foot in the world. You don't have to go all in for Jesus. He wants the blinders on. He does not want you to see the truth. And that's why I've been praying for this series, not just that we would understand the truth, but that the blinders would come off, that the Holy Spirit would bring clarity and conviction into your life. By the way, if you're planning to be here every week, for the next 4 weeks, you're planning to be here, get ready. Because Satan, I'm telling you, Satan would do everything he could, everything it takes to discourage you from coming, you know, to give you an excuse for not being here, you know, to keep you from showing up. He'll try to distract you. Why? Because he doesn't want to be exposed. But if you stay the course, you show up and be engaged. You can't make it. You're going out of town. You say, hey, I'm going to still watch it online. I'm going to be with it. I promise you, this will change your life. Because then you'll begin to understand what it really means to fight from victory. So it's abilities. Letter P stands for plans. Plans. How he does it. How does he carry out his work? Here's what you need to know. Satan has a strategy for each and every one of you. He knows your weakness. He knows when you are weak with your weakness. He has a plan. I mean, you look at the temptation of Jesus, right? How many days was Jesus tempted in the wilderness for? 40 days. 40 days in the wilderness in a dry, hard environment by himself. Did not eat, did not drink, fast, prayed. And Satan showed up. When did he show up? Did he show up on day one? Or did he show up on day 40? Well, we all know this, right? He showed up at the end. On day one, Jesus is at his strongest, physically, spiritually. By day 40, tired, maybe a little hangry, you know, but he didn't sin, okay? You know, so he was hungry. You know, the pressure of the ministry that he knows that he's about to start was on him. That's when Satan attacks. That's when he comes. And listen, Satan knows when you're weak. He doesn't come when you're strong. He comes when you're weak, and he knows where your weakness. And so if Satan has a strategy, then you better have a strategy to fight back. I want you to imagine for just a minute, you're at home by yourself. Maybe you got the TV on, or maybe you got your tablet open, or you're on your laptop, on your computer. And you're sitting there just kind of minding your own business, and all of a sudden there's a battle happening right on your screen. A battle. And on one side there's this voice of the Holy Spirit. He's guiding you to godly content. But on the other side, it's Satan. What's Satan trying to do? He's trying to hijack the feed. Right? He's trying to take over. Things start to pop up. You didn't mean to go there. It just pops up. Things just like, whoa, that caught me by surprise. Let's tell you what, Satan, he's quiet at this point. No sound. Just image. He's subtle. He's not yelling. He's whispering. He said, hey, just look. It's just a picture. Nothing wrong with taking a look. It's nothing wrong. This is how you work. This is the first step. This is desire, if you're taking notes. It starts with desire. He flashes a desire across your screen. Temptations in the form of pleasure, pride, greed, lust. I mean, listen, we were at a restaurant last night. I'm telling you, I was sitting at a restaurant last night. And it just so happened, they had all the TVs on, and there was the horse race last night, right? Yesterday afternoon, Belmont Stakes in New York. And I can't hear it, you know, but they got the closed caption, so I'm watching. You know, I see the horses' names. They always got fun names and a cool name for the horses, you know, and Sovereignty, right? Sovereignty, the horse, you know. Davey likes Sovereignty, right? I like Sovereignty. That's kind of a cool name. And so Sovereignty wins. But, you know, just the build-up to this race. And I never watched this kind of stuff because, you know, I mean, who watched horse races? So I'm watching the closed caption and trying to see what's going on, and I hear them say, "Hey, it's not too late to log in and get your bet in. In fact, if you sign up, here comes a little desire, the first $25 free." I'm like, "Well, there you go. There's how you dangle it." Oh, free money. Oh, man, they caught me in. I mean, he said, dangle that. I saw that said by the announcer two or three times. I'm no kidding. I said, man, Satan at work. Because he knows. It starts with desire. The Holy Spirit said, hey, don't watch that or don't do it. Don't sign up. Trust God's way. It's better. It's safer. It's real. But Satan's not done. It starts with desire, and then he takes it further. Here's the second D. The second D is deceit. Now the volume goes up a little bit. It gets a little bit louder. The lies get louder. Satan said, hey, this will make you feel alive. Hey, God's holding out on you. Come on, it's just a little fun. It's just a little look. You deserve this. You've earned this. See, Satan, he's the father of lies. This is what he does. Bible says in John chapter 8, Jesus said this. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in this guy. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, he speaks fluent lies. That's what he speaks. That's what he talks. And he's been doing this for a long time. He's done this since Adam and Eve. He said, hey, you earn this, Adam. You earn this, Eve. Just have a bite. You know, hey, did God really say that you're going to die if you touch of this food? Oh, come on. Come on. If he does, he lies. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit, he's speaking at this point. He said, hey, the truth will set you free. Love your spouse. Love your husband. Stay faithful. Be generous. Forgive. It's all in God's timing. Trust him. And so now you're in a tug of war. You know, desire pulling you on one end, being fueled by deceit. And then you got the Holy Spirit on the other side pulling you to him. And if Satan can get you to bite, you know, he's dangling that hook. It's, oh, it looks good. You don't see the hook. Oh, it looks good. Come on. This is fun. This is great. And if we get you to bite, and if you can get you to act on the lie, he hits you with that third D. And that third D is defeat. Defeat. All of a sudden, the voice that told you to go for it becomes the voice of shame. He says, with a loud voice, you're a failure. You're a piece of garbage. You've dropped the ball. God can't use you. You're worthless. Sound familiar? That's what Satan does. And he accuses with this loud voice. He's shamed. He wants you stuck in your past and paralyzed in your present. In Revelation chapter 12, this is what he does. He calls, the Bible describes him as the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night. And that's spiritual warfare, and that's Satan's playbook. It starts with desire, then deceit, a lie, followed by defeat. Notice how the strategy played out in James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. They've been they're dangling the hook. Oh, it looks good. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. That's defeat. And say, Scott, where's the second one? Well, verse 16, he sums it up. Don't be deceived. Don't fall for the lie. It's not worth it. But the real truth is this for you. If you're here today, you say, Scott, I have fallen for it. I started with a desire. I listened to the lies. I believe in the lies. I thought it was a shortcut to freedom, but it became a long cut to disaster. I'm just living one mess after another mess after another mess, and I'm living in defeat. Shame. And the good news, for those who are in Christ, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if you will confess your sins, he, God, is faithful. That means every time you blow it, every time you mess up, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. He gives you a clean slate every time. He wants you to get back up and keep going ahead. I know. You pray that prayer and say, God, forgive me. I messed up on Friday. You wake up on Saturday. You do the same thing again and say, I can't believe I did this, God. I messed up. I just asked for your forgiveness yesterday. I don't know that you'll forgive me today. And so you know what we do oftentimes? We put ourselves in spiritual timeout. All right, God, I'm going to put myself in timeout, and maybe 24 hours, you know, maybe 48 hours, did not come back and ask for forgiveness. We know that's unbiblical, because the Bible says that every time he's faithful, he's just to forgive you of your sins. You mess up today, you go to him and say, God, I messed up, please forgive me. I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have fallen for the lies again. God, help me to live for you and be victorious. And then tomorrow you get back up and you mess up again. The Bible says that the righteous man, he falls down 7 times, but gets back up. He keeps getting back up. He keeps getting back up. You don't quit. The good news, my friend, is there'll never be a time where God says, yeah, you've gone one too many times. You're done. He's faithful. He's just to forgive us of our sin. Let's get practical here for a few minutes. I'm almost done. What do you do when you're in the middle of this? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. We've already read the first couple of words, right? Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So here's the takeaway from this. Satan wants you to believe that you're alone. He wants you to believe that you're all alone, that no one else is struggling like you. Your battle, your temptation is unique. You're too far gone. But my friend, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. Your brothers and sisters around the world are fighting the same enemy, facing the same temptation, pushing back in the same war. And so that's why we gather at the church. That's why we sit under the teaching of God's word. That's why we join small groups. Another word to describe small group in this sermon series, winning the battle, is spiritual platoons. Time to join a platoon. Now, I know we're taking a break during the summer. Summer's short-lived. We'll be, you know, got vacation and all that. But in the fall, be a part of a group. You need each other. Be a part of a D group. Be a part of a small group, a life group. I've seen it over and over and over again where someone will open up in a small group and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. And when someone opens up that can of worms, it's a good can of worms, by the way, because then someone else says, hey, I'm glad you brought that up. I struggle with that too. I've seen it all the time. Healing begins. Lies lose power. Truth starts winning. Now Satan, he says, hey, no, keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Don't judge you if you say something about it. That's what he says. But God says, confess it and bring it out into the light. If you're not in a small group, you're missing out. Be a part of a small group this fall. Be a part of what's going on. Be connected with the other believers. You can't fight this battle alone. The lion, he's a roaring lion looking to devour those who are trying to do it by themselves. You need divine power. You need God's power. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And then this is where we're going to be jumping off next week. We're going to be looking at these two verses at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take, here's that word again, so that you can take your stand again. The devil seems. You can take your stand, stand firm, be alert. Satan has a plan and strategy to take you down. He studies you, he knows your weakness. That's why we need the armor on every day. Let me close with this. Too many Christians are stepping into the battlefield spiritually unarmed. You're exposed. You're vulnerable. They believe in the war, but they're not wearing the armor. Oh, don't let that be you. When you go into battle, don't leave your armor behind. Don't stand there defenseless. Put on the helmet. Raise up the shield. Carry your sword. Stand firm. Here's the question I want to leave with you today. Are you standing inside the armor or outside of it? Because the battle is real. But the victory, thank God, is already won. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Next week, Father's Day. Oh, man, the temptation's already there. Oh, you know, stay home. It's my day. It's my day to chill, do what I want to do, grill out some barbecue. Come on. I love a good barbecue. We're flying out today to Dallas, Texas for a couple of days. You better believe it. I've got all the barbecue joints. Mark. All right, man, that's Sunday. It's my day. The only day is my day. Father's Day. Be a man. Stand firm. Be here. We have a gladiator. Next Sunday, I'm going to have a gladiator on a platform. Full armor, full suit. And we're going to begin to unpack the armor of God. You can't make it. Maybe you're out of town. I understand that. Or you're sick. You know, please watch online. Make sure you stay with us every week so that we can be equipped fighting the battle that's already been won. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all of us here. God, I know there's some of us here today struggling. We're struggling. But God, help us to know that we can live in victory. It starts with salvation. God, maybe there's someone here that doesn't know you. They don't know Jesus, that they're Lord and Savior. They've got the blinders on. God, I pray that today the Holy Spirit will begin to get rid of those blinders, to hear the truth of the gospel, that we can be victorious in this life because of a risen Savior. And so, God, if there's someone here today, I pray that after the service, they talk to me, they talk to one of our pastors or someone on the prayer team about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To quit believing in the lies that the Satan keeps throwing at us. And to become a Christian. And then, God, I know that some of us are Christian. They know they're going to heaven. But they struggle. And it starts with those desire, deceit, and defeat. We live in shame. But God, help us to know that you are greater in us than he that is in the world. And we can live in victory. And so, God, I pray that they would seek help. God, I pray that this week that they would talk to someone about their struggles. To let it come out in the light. To be real, to be raw, and to confess it, and get accountability. Take steps towards victory. And God, we ask you, help us this week. In the name of Jesus, amen.